Hey, wish your neighbor Merry Christmas. They came in. Woo! Amen. Well, got great news. God's doing something extra special today. Turn with me into Genesis chapter 37. We're talking about two subjects today. We're talking about dreaming. We're talking about joy. We're going to put the two together. Talking about dreaming, the story of Joseph is such a great story. I thought I'd start there. And I want to challenge you to wherever you hear me using Joseph's name today, I want you to put your name there. And if you have stopped dreaming, start again today. Amen. And what we're going to do, so this is the last week in the month of December. Normally we pass around the boxes in Christmas time for the offering and this kind of thing, and we don't want to do that because you don't want to touch the box after your neighbor touched it because they may have something and all this kind of thing. Or if they don't have anything, they know somebody at work's uncle who was in... Amen. And we don't want to touch that because we heard that they might. So we just take the tension off and just leave it up here. Amen. So wipe your brow now. Whew, man, I thought I was going to have to pass that around. Nope. 37:5. Now Joseph, so put your name there, wherever that is, had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Let's talk about Joseph and let's talk about haters. Dogs bark, ducks quack, haters hate. That's what haters do. And usually, some of them can be in your family or can be your friends. Amen, because you just went through Christmas. Joseph had a dream. So Joseph has been in contact with the Lord. He's deposited something in his spirit. Just like you, God has put something in your spirit. And it needs to manifest and it needs to grow and it needs to come to fruition. The way we get that to happen is surround ourselves with people that are like-minded and get away from the haters. And put together a dream team of your own. Say dream team. Dream team. You got to put it together. Otherwise, you'll be surrounded with doubters and haters that are trying to rip the dream away from you. Because that's the way they was raised. They can't believe anybody in your family or anybody in your circle could really be successful in their finances, in their business, in their relations, in their marriage, in their children, and their grandchildren, and their school, and all that kind of stuff. They can't imagine it. But you can today because you're replacing Joseph's name with your name, and I'm plugging you in the story. That's why we come to church. The Bible isn't for the sweet by and by. The Bible's for right now as we live. Amen. Woo! You're a lot more lively than the last service, but don't tell them that. Okay, so we're going into, and we're going to read verses 18 through 20. And if you're watching at home, thank you. Your scripture should be on the big board there. This is very important that you write this down. This service is definitely a note-taking service because I believe that dreaming triggers joy, and we know that joy brings strength. I believe it's a spiritual force. There's all kinds of spiritual forces that are out there. Let's just make sure the ones that we entertain and are part of are godly forces. So here we go. 18, and this is his family, mind you, so he's taken off. So back then, the way you made money is through agriculture. He made it through animals, and he's headed back out to the fields to meet his brothers. And I don't know how you felt. Close your eyes for just a second as you were making your trip to Grandma's house for Christmas or the people were coming over to your house. What was you anticipating someone to do when they came through the door, mostly giving hugs and high fives or whatever or however you did Christmas. But you always knew, now open your eyes, you always knew that there was one family member. I always say this because it's true. There's always one family member that's a scoffer. They're gonna find the bad in your Christmas party. They're gonna find the bad in your family. They're gonna find the bad in your new furniture. Maybe you wanted to show off your new furniture or your new chinaware or your new whatever. And now people are moving around. They're like, "Oh yeah, you're talking about my mother-in-law. I know." And it all looks good. It's all the table set, and you told everybody don't hug grandma or how it worked, and then all of a sudden, that one person came and go, "I don't know why you're using china. We've always used styrofoam cups and plastic spoons and everything. Why aren't you using that? Well, you just throw it all away. Doesn't that spread diseases when you pass that around?" And you're trying your best, but that's the way they was raised by their family. You're going to read something very valuable in this text about your family and or your friends or your peers. And it doesn't have to do anything with not loving people anymore. Don't hear that. I'm speaking to you today as all adults. So 18, they saw him from afar. And plug yourself in the story. Before he came near to them. All right, let's just hold it right there before we go on too far. And maybe it's the front door's open and you're waiting. Is anybody always waiting for somebody to get there? And now we can eat because so-and-so's here, right? You're waiting. Oh, we can't eat till so-and-so. They told me they were coming. Oh, we had a flat tire. We ran out of gas and this, that, and the other. And the clock's ticking. And you're like, "Oh, dude, everything's getting cold right now." And they finally get to the door. Well, listen to this family. It's going to make you feel better. Your self-esteem's going to go through the roof after this. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill them. Welcome to the family. Not persecuting them, Big Steve, for the food or the dog being out or the baby throwing up or whatever the case may be. They want to kill this guy because what? He's got a dream. He's got a dream. You got a dream. If you got a dream right now, just raise your hand so I know you're awake. I can see you breathing, but I just want to know. Verse 19. So they want to kill him, and they said to one another, say it with me, 1, 2, 3, go. Here comes the dreamer. Oh, boy, isn't he special. The dreamer's coming. And that's okay if people label you as the dreamer. Remember, you're going to be Joseph here in this equation. Here comes the dreamer. And in this dream that God has given him, you're going to learn some valuable lessons after I read this next verse. Come now, let us, what does it say? Let us kill him, throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. Boy, isn't that a family. Not only do they want to kill your dream, they want to kill you. Then after they kill you, they want to make up a story, and they want to tell Dad that an animal got you. Sounds like politics today, doesn't it? Or make up all kinds of stories and get everybody to believe that. You know, I think everybody's, at least their parents, would never believe a story like this. The boy goes out to tend the sheep. Next thing you know, they dip his coat in blood and they bring it back to Dad and say, "Yeah, he's been killed." I told you I tried to do that with my report card one time. And it was back when I told you they handed you the report card and it was typed up. And you could, I went from an F to an E just in a matter of a stroke of a pen. My dad didn't believe that, nor would he ever believe the story. Back when I was young, you used to go to a place called Ben Franklin. Just shake your head if you know what I'm talking about. It was actually a five and dime. Back when things were five and a dime. We used to go there, and the big thing back then was Dunkin' Yo-Yos. You could entertain yourself. Watch this. I mean, we could do the cat's cradle, rock the baby, walk the dog, the whole nine yards. And that yo-yo could entertain you not for hours or days. It could entertain you for weeks, if not months. And they used to have tournaments over plastic toys with a string on them. Just say imagination. Oh, you had to have one because it didn't explode or anything like that. But do you remember when the Duncan butterfly yo-yo came out and it had batteries in it and it shined when you flipped it down? Man, that was a highlight of my life. So where am I going with this story? I'm going with this story is if you wanted to get it and you didn't have any money, sometimes your friends would encourage you to take it without paying for it. Oh, and you'd take it home, and then your dad or your mom would ask you, whatever it was, you know, whether it was penny candy or a yo-yo, where did you get that? And you'd be like these guys here. Well, a fierce animal came. Johnny gave it to me. Wrong answer. Here's the deal. Dad's not going to buy this one either. But here's the deal. The family wants to sell it because they want to kill off your dream. So I thought about this. So here's the apex for the story. I said, God, where am I going with this story, and why have you brought this to me? He said, I want to let you know that I'm not just trying to separate Joseph from the family. I'm trying to get Joseph away from people who are taking his dream. Oh, I rang somebody's bell right there. And a lot of times you go, God, I don't know why I'm going through this. God, I don't know why I'm going through financial hardship. God, I don't know why I didn't go over there last night. God, and God is setting you up so you can be away from these people, so you can start building a dream team and believe that when you put God in the center of that life, dreams actually come true. In the name of Jesus, it's church. He's got to shout about that. You got to believe that. All right, I'm going to ask Patrick to put on a little music. I'm going to pray for the offering. Bring the house lights down for just a couple minutes and let's everybody relax. And you be meditating and put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Think about that and you be thinking about this dream. So Heavenly Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus for all of those people who have a dream. All those people who believe that 2021 is going to be the year for them. That they look not backward, but forward. That they trust in you. They quit listening to the naysayers. And they build their own dream team of Christians for their success. We pray this in thy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So let the offering be gathered. Amen. If you would, we'll turn the house lights back up. Stand up with me. We're going to pray for the message here today. So the first part of the tithing message, which is about dreaming, the main message here is going to be about joy, how you harness that, how you use that as a spiritual, biblical force in your life. So place your hands on your Bible and get ready to take some notes on this one, everyone also who is at home. So Father God, we raise, we stand in attention for your Holy Spirit to reveal its truth in our life. Lord God, we want to take these truth nuggets that you've given us and and apply them to our life. Apply them to 2021. Lord God, after today, we want to say goodbye to 2020 and believe for new and better things in 2021. And we'll do that by dreaming our dreams and engaging this joy in our lives. And we pray this in thy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you applaud the Lord as you are seated one more time? All right. All right, all right, all right. Luke 2, verses 22, and then we'll read through verses 38. Now, I got to tell you this. This is kind of cool, Terry. I've never preached on this particular subject. So it's new, it's fresh, it's going to be good for you. And it's just one of those messages that when I was putting it together, I knew I had to put it together because there was urgency in my spirit. And I'm going to tell you why. You know, I want to trust that life is short, it appears for a while, and then it quickly vanishes. If you believe that, say amen. You can look at that by your Christmas and by your, you know, your different things. You know, your kids are getting older, and then eventually things are going to change, and they'll have their children and all this kind of thing, and it happens very quickly. So the reason I'm talking about that is for this. On Friday, I was sent to me. I have it right here on my phone. I have a video of my other daughter, Raquel. And I have not heard my daughter's voice in 20 years. I haven't heard her voice in 20 years. After this video was taken of her playing t-ball, she died. She was killed. And for me to watch that video was unbelievable. It was unbelievable, Lori, to see your child there that you coached in T-ball not to be here anymore. And it was very fulfilling and very sad at the same time, if I can say that. And anybody that has lost somebody like that, they know that. And some of you guys have saved some things that have been on your phone recorder. Maybe it was dad or it was mom or things like that, and you heard their voice. And it's amazing. So I preached this today with urgency. I want you guys to get it. This ain't going to be just like a normal Pastor Pat message that I deliver. There's something very special about this. So let this dream activate the joy in your life, and then I want you to act on what God has prompted your spirit. Okay. So before we go into Luke 2, verses 22 through 38, I wanted to read something to you out of Matthew 1:21, and you just hold the phone where you're at. It says, since we just got out of Christmas, it says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. So you ask, what do I need to be rescued from today, Pastor Pat? What is it that I need to know? You need to know the only way to get to heaven is through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. I have absolutely no regrets with the way I raised my daughter before she passed away. I spent the time, Terry. I took the time to read her the Bible every day, day and night. Told her about Jesus. She got born again. She got saved. She's in glory. I'll meet her one day. Amen. That keeps me hanging on. And I wanted to share that with you because the story about these two, there's a gentleman and then there's a lady in this story. One's name's Simeon and one's name is Anna. God uses men and women all through the Bible. And so we're gonna talk about this. We're gonna step on some religious toes as we get in there. There are some denominations that don't believe God uses women, or there isn't the anointing of the Holy Spirit anymore. It was only an apostolic gift, and we come to debunk that through the Word of God today. So we'll let God do his handiwork and let the chips fall where they may. Amen. But my prayer today is that you take the limits and the restrictions off of God and let God be God to you today. Let him minister to your hearts. I just don't want to be tied up into a quote-unquote religion that tells you what God can't do. I've never seen anything God can't do. God can do all things. He says it all through the Bible. I said God says it. He does all things all through the Bible. In all the books of the Bible, God's doing things that religion is trying to suppress. God uses all people all the time, regardless of where you came from, your social status, or anything else. He uses all people all the time for His glory. And there ain't anything anybody can do about it. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. My mom always said that. I guess I could use it today. You remember, well, that was popular back then when I was a kid. Men smoked pipes back then. All right, 2:22 in Luke. And when the time came for purification, I'm going to read through this and then we're going to go back and chop it up. I didn't do that in the other services, but I want to today. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and or two young pigeons. So sometimes people are confused, Larry, about offerings and bringing offerings. Oh, was it only an Old Testament thing? Or, oh, it was only a New Testament thing. Here's the deal. There was offering and tithing before the law, during the law, and after the law. So don't let anybody ever, that's probably the most confusing thing in the whole wide world is people think like offerings and tithes were only like for a certain part of whenever land. And it's the craziest thing I've ever heard. So settle the issue with all the sidewalk psychologists out there on Facebook land and let them know. My pastor told me there was offerings and tithes before the law, during the law, after the law. Amen. I won't charge you for that, but that's good stuff. Yeah, and the offering's already been picked up, so, you know, I'm not hawking you, so. Let's bring that buckets back out. Oh, that was good. I knew he was going to ask for money. It's always about the money. No, it's always about Jesus. Stop. Oh, quit. Well, go ahead anyways. Listen, Bob. Here it is. So they're bringing it. So what they had to offer, a lot of people go, well, they didn't talk about money in the Old Testament. And this, their money was animals and agriculture. That was their credit card. You just couldn't carry them around in your pocket. You had to lead them on a leash. So anytime you see farming or you see animals, that was their commerce, always. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this is where you would want to put an asterisk by that so you can go back and study this. This is really super, super good. He was a righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Underline Holy Spirit, because I'll talk about that. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Let me talk about Lord's Christ real quick. Christ is his title. Jesus is his name. Lord means he's met. You're in Bible class right now. Lord means he's master of your life. He's Lord of my life. And if you're going to have anything be Lord of your life, why not Jesus? The Christ. Christ meaning Messiah. You go, oh man, that is so awesome. I learned all that today. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and saying, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. And Janet, Miss Janet talked about that in her, when she was singing about the Gentiles. You're either, according to the Bible, you're of Jewish descent or you're a Gentile. And for the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, the Christ, or I'm sorry, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul, so that the thoughts for many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, so underline all that right there, because that's big, the daughter of Phanuel in the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband for 7 years from when she was a virgin. And then as a widow, she was 84, and she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak to him, to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So this is the word of the Lord. Amen. Back to verse 22. So Joseph and Mary are bringing Jesus up to be dedicated to the Lord, set aside holy. That's what holy means, is set aside. So bringing him up to the temple 8 days after he was born, and mom and dad are dedicating him to the Lord. That's a great idea for you to dedicate your baby to the Lord, the works of the Lord. And you, oh yeah, man, we really need to do that. We need to dedicate our child. And we've dedicated all kinds of children up here. Sometimes we've even had as many as 12 or 13 children up here. And we've had a grandma and grandpa and a mom and dad and everybody up there. And the grandmas and grandpas, oh, they're the picture takers. You know, they're like, okay, you mind if I take a picture? And I'm like, no, go ahead. It's a neat occasion. So what does it mean? What's it about? When you're dedicating a child, that means you're setting the child apart and asking God's hand to be upon him. Does it save him? No, I can't save your child. Only God can save your child. So once he or she finds out that they're a little sinner, they'll need a big savior. And everybody's grandchild, you know, lives in this deal here. They'll recognize that they're a sinner, because it's all wrongdoing. They'll figure out that what they're doing is wrong. They'll know that the only way they can rectify that is through Jesus. Amen. So here it is. But also to that charge, guys, when you dedicate children up here, we also put the command on the mom and the dad. So I'm just going to ask these two kids in the back, Daniel and Sarah, just to stand up for just a second. And you sit right back down. Just stand up, sit back down real quick. All right. I didn't want to embarrass them, but I did. So I just married these kids. They had a baby and everything. And when we dedicated their child, they did it for keeps. Hold on for a second. Hold on. You remember when you played for keeps? Man, I like that. We played for keeps. Played for keeps, you know, whether it was marbles or anything like that. Those kids back there played for keeps. They came up. They got right with the Lord and some things of their life. And they're here today, and they're doing what they said they was going to do. So I applaud you guys for that. So God bless you guys. And all the rest of you. All you kids that are raising your babies in the church, and God bless these kids over here and Grandpa being there. I'm gonna just hear me on this. Just come to church. That's the first thing you do as a mommy and a daddy. Let God work out the details. You go, well, here's the deal. Just get there, Donna. Just get here. Just get them through the door. We know that that's a challenge. If you drive a minivan, it is just sometimes a challenge. That's why they put power doors on minivans. Because you can't get them in unless you strap them down and hit the button real quick. They'll ooze out the sides. I already told you that all four food groups are in there. Amen. And then I'll put a charge to you, or you'll make a charge to your congregation, Zach, that you'll say, hey, you told me you were going to raise your baby here. Hey, you told me you were going to stay together. Hey, and marriage isn't easy. I'll tell you, you'll have to tell everybody that marriage is not easy. I'll say marriage is not easy. Well, if it wasn't for her, or wasn't for him, this thing would be perfect. If it wasn't for him or her, you wouldn't be married. Just say amen.
Amen.
Ladies, he's your problem. I say that all the time. They're like a remission. Like they come in church, Mike. They go, "You ain't gonna believe what my husband did." I'm like, "Try me." And I say, "You married him." But we ain't robots. We need to look back at this and laugh and go, "Man, that dude was crazy." Or guys, you can look at your wife and say, "Boy, she's really stubborn, I'll tell you." Well, she's got to be stubborn to live with you guys, I'll tell you that. Boy, it's hot up here. So you have to raise your kids in church. And that's what this is about. I mean, Jesus is doing it. Let's see, hold on. Our Savior's doing it. Should we do it? Probably. And so here it is. So they bring the turtle doves in verse 25. So the story starts. So this is going to, the dream's going to trigger the joy. So Simeon is dreaming one day. He's dreaming one day that he's going to see this Savior. And I don't know about you, but man, that's a heck of a dream. Let me read this to you out of Acts 2:17. In the last days it shall be. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. People are going to dream. That means God has touched their life. And that actually in itself was something that Dr. Luke wrote down that was prophesied thousands of years before in the book of Joel in chapter 2. Amen. So here he is. He's waiting for this Jesus to come, waiting for this Christ child to come. And in verse 26, it says, "And when it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, and he came in the Spirit into the temple." A lot of times you guys are wondering, I can't believe I'm here. You walked in, you go, "I don't even know why I'm here." Everybody that's ever said that in church go, "I don't even know why I'm here. You know, I don't even know why I'm here. You know, I am so done with him. I am so done with her. I don't even know why we're here." Look at me for a second. God brought you here. Crazy. That's going to freak you out. You're in God's house. Guess what? God brought you here. He's got a message for you, and I'm his voice box today. That's all they're doing. Don't psychoanalyze that. I'm gonna crack it on you, and you do something with it. Or not. So the Holy Spirit brings him to this temple, verse 27, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, boom, he took him up in his arms. Right then, right there, that child walked in the church. Big Steve, just like you were saying, Big Steve was showing me a picture of one of his grandbabies, and then he said, look what he looks like when we told him he's going to have a baby brother or a daughter or a sister. This little three-year-old baby, when he said, "Hey, you're getting ready to have a brother or sister," that other baby went like this. He's got the picture on his phone. That's what Simeon looked like when Jesus walked through the door. He said, "I've been praying about him. I've been thinking about him. I've been hearing about him. The Holy Spirit's been moving in my heart." And all of a sudden, Jesus walks through that door. He didn't have a name tag on, but I knew that had to be the Christ child because the glory of God was all around him, and my heart started to flutter a little bit. You remember when you got born again? You remember when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit? There'll be somebody to come along and try to take that away. "Oh, well, that was just a religious experience. That was a feeling." No, it wasn't. Say, "That was the Lamb of God that touched my heart, and I'll never be the same again." Yeah. He's holding the child in the air. When you've been been touched by Jesus, you've been touched by the best. Hallelujah. I've told this story, but it's very fitting right now. I'm going to say it again. I was going to a little church up in North County, a little Baptist church up there. It was a great church, Cross Keys, great church. And I told you I'd get in the back. Mark, if there was another chair on the other side of the wall, I would have been out there. But as I was listening to the Lord, I got about the middle row in the church. And this guy, his name was Greg. He was the preacher that day. And he pointed his finger. Do you ever, like when you come to church, you feel like the preacher's talking to you? Or girls, you're like, your husband gets home and goes, did you tell him about us? Did you tell him about the fight last night? He said, it's impossible for you to come in the presence of the holiest of holies and not have your life change. When you experience Jesus Christ, your life will never be the same. He looked at me and said that. When you come into the presence of Almighty God, your life will change. I never forget that. Man, it was 20 years ago when that guy said that to me. And watch this. I knew that what he was saying, he was a man of God, so I knew it was truth. But I never received it in my heart to sometime later. So I believe that we got to get this stuff down in our spirit so the Holy Ghost can pull it out when we need to. There's some things that are in your data bank that you want to pull out to share with your families. Today might be that day. I'm just warning you. So rise with me as we'll, and I'll ask Shelby to come forward. I got one more person that I want to talk about, and I want to let you ladies know that this lady's name was Anna, and she was a prophetess. I want to tell you something about this, because this is another thing that gets in my crawl to no end. You know, these different religions that talk about the lady can't do this and the lady can't do that. I can't get behind any of that. You know, or the pastors of the church, men, yeah, it tells us that. And Timothy and Titus. But to say that everybody doesn't have a job in the kingdom of God, man, that's a heck of a stretch, and I just don't believe in that. All right, so in verse 36, I'm going to tell you about Anna. And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years. Now listen to this, class, as I bring this forward. She was advanced in years. I'm just going to say she had to have been about 100. Might have been a Baptist. I don't know. She might have been Pentecostal and Baptist. She might have been Baptocostal, by the way. Whatever. I don't know what she was. But it always seems like church ladies live a long time, doesn't it? Just like they don't die. They just pray it all the time. Oh, hair everywhere. Turn the house lights down up there for me, Jackie. Is anybody, I see like God's all over this thing. If your family didn't make it to this service, tell them to get on live stream or archive it so they can get this. I want them to have this, Becca. And thank you again for the Christmas gift. God bless you. Anna, she's a big deal in the kingdom of God. Listen to this, Franny. She was there for a long time. Advanced in years. Advanced in years is a nice way to say somebody's old. Some people look at my hair now and they go, I remember when it was thick. Yeah, and not gray. Same thing they're talking about Anna the same way here, but listen to what she does. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband for 7 years when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple. How about that, Ridley's? He was raised in the church. This lady was in the church for 84 years. Now we get the tapping on of the watch if I go a little too long.
Wrap it up.
Hey, we'll wrap it up. This lady couldn't wrap it up. She was in there 84 years. She was fasting and praying. God wants a church that doesn't have to throw a chicken dinner on to get people in the door is what I'm saying. You just come because the Holy Ghost is there and a preacher opened up the pages of the gospel and go, I got to get there. That guy's fixing to preach. 84 years she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So I want to ask you a question here today, so close your eyes. So here's the question. And Shelby, you can keep playing. Go ahead. That's a good song right there. You've been waiting. Just right now, instantly, if you've been waiting, raise your hand and just keep it up for a second. I'm going to pray for you. I've been waiting for Jesus to do something in my life. I wish he would do it. Here's the deal. If your hand is raised, I'll ask you another question. Are you a born-again believer? If you are and your hand's raised, just wave it. Just say, I'm giving my life to Jesus. If your hand's not moving, that would tell me you don't know if you're saved or not. But if you're waiting for Jesus to do something special in your life right now, and we're going to be honest, everybody, what I want you to do is just slide out into the aisles of where you're at. Slide. Keep your eyes closed. Just slide out there. Don't stumble over anybody. And then I want you to just come down here. I've been waiting for Jesus to do something in my life. Come on out. Slide on out in the aisle. Don't let this one go by. Please, don't let this go by. And say, well, what good does it do if I come to the altar? Well, first of all, this is the altar of the Lord. We built this stage just for this reason, Shelby. We built this to praise God and read the word, and his people can get to the altar. This is where we worship him here, Terry. We built this for this is set aside. Actually, what we have done as a church is we quit allowing activities in the sanctuary because I wanted it to make a more reverent place, Chris. That's just what God spoke to me. Let's cut the activity and start worshiping God. Maybe it's good or not, but I believe it's reverent to the Lord. So you're down here, you're God's feet. Now let's pray this. What is it that you're waiting for? And you just kind of mention that in your spirit, whatever that is. You just kind of, I was waiting for him to fix my health. I was waiting for him to fix my marriage. I was waiting for him to tell me that I was going to have another grandchild. Whatever that is, can you imagine all these things? God can make these things happen if you will just bring it to him. You got to bring God into the center of your marriage, center of your finances, center of your work, center of your ministry, center of all of that stuff. He's got to be in the middle. Just because you're married and you go to church doesn't mean that God's in the center of your marriage. He's in the middle of your marriage when you're praying together and reading together and sharing together and your spouse becomes your best friend. So let's pray about that, and then we'll just let God be God here, and you guys just hang out and enjoy this day. So, Father God, I pray for the hands that are raised, and maybe even some that ain't born again, that they would give their life to you. Lord, there's something special about this service today. I want you to know, Lord, I love all these people, especially these young people who are raising their children in church. I'm excited about that. Bless them, Lord God, to recondition and rekindle their life for your glory. In thy name, Jesus, amen.